This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way, but in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, we're going to learn how to get teenagers all the way through the teen years with all that social media going on. And then, how panicky should we be about Ebola? We'll talk with a doctor. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Drought-triggered earthquakes? Could this be a new worry for California? We'll talk about it.
Jay Campidonia has the day off in his place. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Hey, Phil, just when we got used to the fact that the NSA was in our smartphones, now I think they may also be in our Doritos.
Neatly folding and organizing his color-coordinated tank tops before coming in, it's Chris Martin.
I have a question for you ladies out there. Is there such thing as too much closet space?
Nope.
I have a story about a she cave closet caper that you're going to want to hear.
Wow, she cave. Can't wait to hear that. And Jen, we did hear you. That's duly noted right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the answer I expected.
When we start doing the closet shopping for the program, we'll keep that in mind. All right, let's get things started. And thanks for tuning in. Jennifer, forever, haven't we been saying, you know, when it gets hot, we get big earthquakes. And then the earthquake experts always say, no, there's no connection whatsoever. But what? The drought, maybe?
Right. Well, you know, because that is just not scientifically based at all, that there's anything called earthquake weather. But the drought may actually end up triggering earthquakes. And this is from a credible source. This was in the journal Nature, suggesting the more water that gets pumped out of the ground, as far as groundwater goes in the Central Valley, the greater chance of earthquakes on the San Andreas Fault, which is right nearby. For example, in Kern County, there's one farmer who recently drilled, just out of desperation, 5 new wells, 2,500 feet deep apiece. By the way, that's twice the height of the Empire State Building, in a desperate attempt to tap into a new water source. So remember we had that conversation about how fracking, all that, you know, messing around to get oil out of the earth in some states is causing earthquakes in places they've never had them before. This is kind of a similar thing.
Wow. Oh, see, and once they start happening, I mean, how long do you have to keep drying out? Because we're good 3 years into this. We got a little rain. I don't know, maybe we bought a couple days before the next earthquake comes along. But you get three years into that drought. Are we crusty enough now for something to happen?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. Unlike other states in the West, California has never had any kind of regulations on withdrawing groundwater. So we are actually at more of a risk for this happening. And over the last 150 years, we have pumped nearly 160 cubic kilometers of groundwater from the valley. Okay, so that's leaving a lot.
Yeah, it does. Anytime you go metric on us, it's a lot, right?
I know, but here's in simpler terms, that's enough to fill Lake Powell, Lake Mead, all the Colorado River reservoirs downstream twice with a little bit left over. So they've definitely been kind of sucking the state dry over the last 150 years.
The earth just needs to moisturize so its face doesn't crack.
Exactly.
I know.
Yes, exactly. And please, don't go metric on us again, will you? NBC's Chris Hansen probably does this when he uses Google, Jennifer.
What's that?
A cue for your story, your next story. Mike, was that too cryptic? You know who Chris Hansen is, right? The Catch the Predator guy.
I thought there was more. Actually, Google is taking the place of Chris Hansen, if you want to put it that way, because they've developed the state-of-the-art software with proactively scouring hundreds of millions of email accounts for images of child abuse. So Google has this program, and it sort of – they haven't ever talked about it, but details about it kind of came out after a convicted sex offender was arrested in Texas for possession of child abuse images, 41-year-old guy. So they sort of had to kind of, you know, come clean that, yeah, we're scouring your email. Now, you know that a few months ago, and I think we talked about this, Google did confirm that they go through the email accounts, you know, your Gmail account. They scan it for content to provide personally relevant advertising. So, I mean, if they're going to do that, they may as well use it for crime fighting, too. You know,
they have
all kinds of technology. And it's not like there's some guy sitting in a room looking at all your pictures.
But then are they violating the agreement that they had with the user?
Right. Probably not, because it's free. you know? And that's we give away so much stuff and we say, sure, no problem. Yeah, thanks. Hey, Gmail. Okay, yeah, can I get my username? That's the most important thing when you're
signing
up for Google.
But Google can't give my email or my inbox away to, say, the feds. Let's say the feds want it, and they forgot to ask the NSA to just go ahead and take it. But they'll have to go to the court to get a warrant before they can actually look at it and read it. Isn't that correct?
Right. But those little red flags can serve as probable cause if they have that kind of technology that's available to them. And
now don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up for the Preds. I'm just saying that there may be some legal issues here that'll have to be sussed out. But also, we do care about the kids a great deal, and I don't want to sweep them under the carpet. But don't we just get a heck of a lot madder when somebody abuses an animal? Like a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see this video?
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen it?
Yeah. No.
It's terrible. It's this guy. It looks like a cowboy in his underpants, basically on a cliff at the Grand Canyon, and he puts a little food on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and the squirrels at the park are very friendly because people feed them. They're not supposed to feed them, but people do. So the squirrels will come right over to you. So this guy puts a little bait right on the edge of the cliff, and as soon as a squirrel comes up and starts eating, he just kicks it over the edge of the canyon, which is, at most points, it's like a mile deep. So it's...
And we're not posting this video, by the way. Just so where we stand. We're not posting that video on the show fun page.
We could put up some Wile E. Coyote. That would be funny. When Wile E. Coyote falls into a canyon, it's hilarious.
Yes, it is. Right.
It is hilarious. But, you know, the thing about the violent cartoons is there are always consequences, so it's not really teaching violence.
You know, this is where we developed our sensitivity for animals, is watching Wile E. Coyote.
I know, right? So anyway, the National Park is asking for help from YouTube, the authorities. They're thinking, we could find this guy. We know who the user is who posted it. He hasn't, you know... replied or responded to any media requests, like people sending him messages on YouTube. But YouTube could certainly give this guy up. So we'll have to see if they do.
Or Greg, perhaps this fellow left behind a half-eaten bag of potato chips.
Oh, it's quite possible. Yeah, Phil, I have exceptionally bad news for anybody that's ever experienced the simultaneous encounter of both paranoia and the munchies. If you catch my drift,
yeah.
Researchers at MIT, along with people at Microsoft and Adobe, basically have discovered a way to spy on you by using your bag of potato chips. What they did is they took a guy like me and put him in a soundproof booth with a bag of chips, like these amazing Lay's wasabi ginger chips. Have you tried these yet? These are amazing.
My gosh, you're out of control.
Put him in the booth. Soundproof booth with a window, and they took super high-speed video cameras to record the vibrations that were produced on the surface of the bag as he was speaking, presumably to his potato chips, I guess. And using that and analyzing the video, they can actually recreate the waveform of the sound of his voice and listen to what he was saying to his bag of chips.
So the chips have a tympanic quality to them?
Huh? Well, the bag, mainly the bag, the plastic bag.
The bag.
What the chipset had to say back, no one knows yet either. But
if they have it recorded, they can go back in slow motion and decode the vibrations and turn them into words.
Right, or sound. Yeah, absolutely.
There has to be a camera around. There has to be a recording device of some sort.
There's one there's one right now.
There's three of them in here.
Right over there.
already have those.
Yeah.
They have to be pretty super high speed for them to get reasonable audio quality. But even with like a regular cell phone camera, they could at least tell if there was speaking going on or maybe how many people were in the room at the time.
One of those fancy NSA cameras.
Right, exactly.
The ones without speaker phones?
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones that are already probably in all our homes. Anyway.
Yeah. Some people have everything. They have those kind of fancy cameras. But there's a lady in Texas that she has something I've never heard of before, Chris.
Yeah, she has a she cave. At least that's the term we came up with. She cave, woman cave,
yeah,
her cave.
What is it?
She's a Texas socialite. It's a wardrobe closet. It's a three-story wardrobe closet, Phil.
Yeah, Jen, that's what I'm talking about. Have you seen pictures of that thing?
I have.
It's amazing.
This thing has a steel spiral staircase that goes right up the middle of it. It has rolling ladders and, yes, a champagne bar down at the bottom.
In the event you need a sip in between putting on socks?
Right. Bartender included. Anyway, she was robbed.
There's a bartender in her closet.
I don't know. I made that part up. But right. How can you have a champagne bar and not have a bartender behind
it? Well, she should have a bartender because she's going to have to ask somebody if those jeans make her butt look.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And you know what she does? She throws huge parties in that closet.
Yeah. And raises money and stuff. She does. She's a Texas socialite who raises all kinds of money.
But second anyway, floor, housewares. Third floor, foundations. Go ahead.
Right, yeah.
A little Bugs Bunny reference.
Yeah, a guy came in after she left for dinner. He took three Birkin bags worth $60,000 each, which how do you get by a bag worth $60,000? Then
Have you seen the they're beautiful.
Oh,
they're
I'm
a mess.
Sure.
They're beautiful.
Don't she's a socialite. Don't call her a bag.
Seen them. They're on my wish list.
Yeah.
The guy then proceeded to fill the bags with jewelry for a $1 million haul from one person's closet.
My gosh.
Look at that.
All right, I got to look online and find that one. Okay, up next, video games. Good or bad? I'm going to change your mind about those and a whole lot more when we return here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. Chris Martin is here. Jay Cappadonia has the week off in his place today. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane. Thank you, Greg. And while I have you, Greg.
Yeah?
Video games. We're always told that they're bad for us, that they're going to get into our brain, turn us into mush, we'll lose all of our social skills, we'll become obese, all these negative things about video games. We'll become more violent, insensitive to people, but you have something that might change our mind.
Yeah, Phil, it seems there might actually be evidence that that's not entirely true. There's a new study from Oxford University that found that children who play video games, console or PC, they found the amount of time that you should spend, and it seems to work out to be about an hour or so, hour or less per day. And they actually, the kids turn out to be, according to the study.
I don't know.
What can you do in an hour or less?
Nothing.
Can you build a castle in one of those games? What's the game where you build castles?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
What's it called?
It's a computer game. I know which one you're talking about.
What's that called, Greg? The where you build castles?
Minecraft.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Legos on your computer.
More or less, but what can you do in an hour on that? Come on. Oh, Mom.
Well, I
just bought a moat.
But what I thought was interesting is they find the kids actually end up being more socially adjusted and more kind of satisfied with life than kids who don't play any video games at all. Now, there's some external factors which might be because you know your family can't afford a PC or a video game console, which might make your life kind of lame. So obviously you take this with a bit of salt. But some video games seem to be pretty good. If you go more than an hour, though, any positive effects seem to just kind of go away.
They're erased. That's after an hour. That's when you start packing on the pounds.
Exactly right. Yes. You do get to the next level and beat the boss, though, which is really, I think, you can't underestimate how important that is.
Yeah. And when you're done playing video games, you could sit down and listen to audio taped recordings of our 37th president, Jennifer.
It sounds really exciting, doesn't it? But could you imagine 40 years ago if we could have just been a fly on the wall when Richard Nixon was deciding to resign?
Ooh, that must have been a tough meeting to have.
I know. So this is...
What do you think, BB?
It's really interesting. About 10 years after the Nixon resignation, he sat down with his one-time aide, and told the tale of his fall from grace in his own words. And as a part of the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of his resignation, which is next Tuesday, by the way, portions of the tapes are going to be published each day by the Nixon Presidential Library and Museum, which is in
Yorba Linda.
Yeah, Yorba Linda, the birthplace.
Yep.
So it starts with him recalling the day he decided to resign, and it ends on Saturday, the date of his last day in office. He says, when he decided to resign, he faced such strong resistance from his wife that he brought her a transcript of the smoking gun tape to a family meeting to show her how bad it really was. Like, really, honey, I have no alternative.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. When he got onto Navy One, that's the name of the helicopter, right? The presidential helicopter.
Yeah.
When he got on Navy One and he turned around and he flashed
Marine One.
There you go. He flashed the peace sign. You know, the double armed peace sign and gave a last smile and went into the copter and it flew away. Where did it go? Did it take him to the airport and he flew him out to San Clemente? What happened?
Yeah, it flew him right to San Clemente. It probably took him to a base and he got on a plane to San Clemente, but he got on that helicopter on his last day in office, and that the first thing that happened to him that day, he said he had a fitful night. He wakes up at 4 a.m., goes to the kitchen thinking he's going to get himself a little snack, and he's shocked that there's someone already there working. And the staffer in the kitchen said, you know what, it's 6 a.m., your watch stopped.
Oh.
And so his statement was, the battery had wore out at 4 o'clock the last day I was in office.
Yeah,
Nixon said, by that day, I was worn out too.
You are
Taco Bell's around the corner, so go find something over there.
Jennifer, you are just channeling Nixon there from the grave.
You know, it was one of my first, Watergate was one of my first political memories as a child. And I was born in Maryland, so I was around the White House and all that stuff when Nixon was campaigning. So I kind of felt like I was really sad when he resigned. I remember that because he was the president and I didn't know what was going on, but I remember thinking, wow, he's not in charge anymore?
Yeah. Are there any big long blank spaces on this on these new tapes?
Yeah, no.
Those blank spots for
nothing.
No,
nothing redacted.
Yeah, all right.
Nothing is. It's all out there. And so all finally, right. You know, years later, they always release this stuff after kind of no one cares anymore. We know who Deep Throat is. We know everything already. Except these are nice, clear recordings.
Yeah, and it's fun. So that's Yorba Linda. That's the Nixon Library. And I bet Nixon had some uses for vodka, Chris.
Yes. Raise your hand if you like vodka.
Me.
I almost forgot that this is radio. Right. So, Gonzo, this is for you. If you like vodka, here's a few more reasons to love it even more. You know, you can add a shot of vodka to your shampoo and it will fight oil buildup. Jen, did you know that?
You can add what?
Vodka.
I've never heard this.
Yeah. Oh, here's a few more for
you.
You're going to like these.
Uses for vodka maybe you didn't think of.
Add a few drops to your roses or petunias because vodka will make your flowers last longer. It will reduce the pain of poison ivy, heal cold sores, and soothe the sting from a jellyfish, which we all know is better than the alternative soothing of a sting from a jellyfish.
That's right. We know what the alternative is, right? Not the meat tenderizer alternative, the other one.
Right.
Where you need a partner.
Mm-hmm. Mix it as a face wash, and it will shrink and tone your pores, soak your feet in it, and it will take away the odor. It is an incredible substance.
Vodka.
It can be used as a confidence enhancer as well.
Cheaper the better for these things, or do you go for the full-on, like, the expensive stuff?
It depends. If you're a Texas socialite with a three-story wardrobe closet, then you go for the Belvedere.
Yeah.
You can clean jewelry, make insect spray out of it, all kinds of stuff.
Vodka? Yes, you're soaking in it. Another 60s reference there, sorry, back to the Nixon thing. Hey, you know what? Do you know how much money, the most amount of money you could win on a single episode of Jeopardy? Somebody's done the math for us, and I can tell you. You want to know?
All right.
I thought the crickets were going to answer.
I raised my hand.
Did you? Thank you. I almost forgot this was radio. All right. The number would require you to get the daily doubles as the last question or questions in both rounds and double up with them every time and win. The full amount, the max you can get, is $566,400 in one episode of Jeopardy.
Wow.
If you run the boards and you get the double Jeopardy question right at the end of each of the rounds.
How'd that guy do that was on, I don't know, a few years ago?
Ken Jennings.
There for 4 months or whatever?
Yeah. He made $566,400 in about 4 weeks.
Whoa.
I think he ended up pulling down like 12 or 13 million over his stint on that show.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He really, he was there for a while.
That's
hey,
a lot.
Phil, how much money would it take to get Alec Trebek to stop pronouncing French words so French?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's doing it in Canadian.
Oh, that's what it is.
You know, it'd be nice to get free stuff, though, once in a while, Greg. Is in fact, this free thing from Microsoft might make some people who paid for it already a little angry.
This might be kind of remarkable. I don't know about you. Most of the computers that I use are essentially steam-powered. So I haven't really graduated much beyond XP on most of the machines I use. I do have a Mac that I love, but for you know a lot of the other stuff, I still have XP on my machines. And, yeah, Microsoft really, 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 really wants us to stop using XP and even Windows 7. And I guess on the table is a possibility that they may make the next version of Windows 9 or Windows Threshold, which is its secret code word.
Ooh.
They might make it a free upgrade for even those of us that are still using XP.
And all the people who threw away their XP devices and bought a Windows 9 and went through all the hassle to get all the programs they used to use in XP to work in Windows 9. And you just told them Windows 9 is going to be
Windows
free.
9. Is Windows 9 out yet? I thought it was only up to 8.
I've 8. Got 9.
1. You
I've
do?
Got 9. Yeah. Don't I? I think I have 9.
Okay.
Now I better check.
No,
somebody
I better look.
Somebody consult Wikipedia. They know.
I think 9's still on the way.
Yeah.
Hey, how in the world do you raise a teenager in today's super social world where in a moment two teens can exchange phone numbers, private photos, passwords, and more? And I was worried about AOL Instant Messenger when my girls were teens. We'll explore this with the author of the new book, A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens, next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. When you visit our website, philhewlettandfriends.com, you'll see there right on the home page that you can listen to every single show we've ever done. They're all there, except this one, because we have to finish it and then put it up there a little later so that you can listen to it again. Download it, share it, listen on demand, whatever you like to do. Scoff at it and then send us an email, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. In this age of Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, it's nonstop. Teenagers love them, they use them, and the lines of decency and appropriate behavior are blurred beyond recognition. So, how do you bring definition back to those lines if you are the parent of a teenager? Or how do you prepare your child, preteen or otherwise, to resist falling into the rushing current of everything is fair game in social media? Joining us live is the author of the book, A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens. Here's the long version. Talking to your kids about sexting, drinking, drugs, and other things that freak you out. She's an MSW, which stands for Master of Social Work. Say hello to Joni Geltman. Hi, Joni.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Excellent. Now that you're here.
I'm so excited.
Now,
coming to LA on this week, so I'm very excited.
All right, good. Now, that's a long title to a book, but I read the whole thing because it helps us focus on what's important here, and it's not an easy task for parents of teens these days, is it?
It is not. It is, you know, this is the first generation of parents who are doing something with their kids and dealing with something with their kids that they themselves did not deal with as teenagers, right? So we all did a little drinking, a little drugs, you know, some sex, some rock and roll. We all did that. At least, you know, you were an observer if you were not a participant. But, you know, your kids now are doing things that you've never experienced as a teenager. So all the parents and the kids have kind of jumped into the pool at the same time here. And I think that's where the problem starts.
Yeah. And we wanted to do the same things that our kids are doing. The difference is it's instant gratification. So if we were to do a similar situation back when we were teenagers, we'd be sitting in the back of the room in the classroom and then just whip our clothes off and have sex while class was going on. Which is essentially what is happening online and social media, right?
No, and it's so funny, it's not funny, but interesting, that where do you think these kids are taking these pictures? They're doing them in their home,
yeah,
in their bedrooms, with their parents home. So there's no magic that's going on here. I think part of the problem is that most parents would think, oh my God, my kid would never do anything like that. So they A, aren't even talking to their kids about it. B, they're not monitoring situations where potentially it could happen. And then they're stuck when a crisis hits, because it's, you know, once that parent is what checks their kid's phone and they find something on there that freaks them out, hence the title, then I get that call. Oh my God, God, I'm nauseous. What should I do?
Yeah, I think with the best litmus test for parents is to just take a moment by themselves, take off their parent hat for a moment and remember themselves when they were a teen and just ask themselves, okay, if I had available what my kid has available, would I do what I fear my child might be doing? And the answer, I suspect, would almost always be yes.
Of course. And, you know, I think the issue is that teens live in these very impulsive brains. And so they're not thinking things through. And because, you know, it's a teaching moment in the same way that we don't let our kids get their licenses unless they, you know, read that blue book or whatever state you're in, is there's a different color. And you have to take the test and you have to sit in the car with your parents and you have to take driving lessons. There's a whole progression about learning. But what we've done, we've given these kids phones when they're 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they're finding out things to do with them because maybe they have older siblings and they're watching it or they're seeing someone do something on TV. And no one's literally sitting down and saying, you know what? Too much too soon. You know, you can't have a billion apps on your phone. You don't need to have Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter. In fact, no kid should have Snapchat. You mentioned that in your intro. That's a dangerous app. Parents don't think of it as dangerous. They think, oh, this is like a fun app. Kids can take pictures and instantly show it to their friends. Isn't that sweet?
And then it goes away instantly as well, but sometimes not. Yeah.
Right. And it's, you know, for when you're 5 years old and you're taking a picture, making a funny face. Yes, that's very sweet. But a lot of these kids, not only are they using it for sexting, but they're also using it as, it's like a secret place to say something that your parents won't find out.
Because so, it goes away. It wipes almost instantly.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want to sneak out with a friend after your parents have gone to bed, you do a Snapchat with them and then it goes away and then there's no record. So your parents likely may never find out about it unless you, you know, get yourself caught.
So let's say you do find out. And your teen, you surmise, has gone off the deep end, addicted to social media or some element of it that you feel is dangerous. Does it do any good to just take everything away, or is there a better way?
No, I mean, I'm never, you know, I think that we have to acknowledge that this is how kids communicate. Now, I'm all for that. I'm glad that there are some kids who, you know, are shyer and this helps them communicate in a different way. I'm all for that. I think that one, parents have to limit the amount of apps their kids download on their phones. And most parents don't even know how these phones work. And the kids know more than they do. And there's a lot of parental controls. If you go to your carrier, they can, parents should know that their kids should not have their phones in bed with them at night. That's when a lot of, a lot of that crazy stuff goes on. Kids get bored. They literally are staying up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning and seeing who can stay up the latest and have be the last one to text. So no kid should have their phone at night. That takes away at least the nighttime stuff. The number of apps that they can be posting on. Parents should be privy to their posts. They should know their kids' passwords so they can, or their Twitter handle and their Instagram name so they can go on Twitter and they can go on Instagram. And it's not like, oh my God, I'm punishing you. I'm taking your phone away because you wrote something gross. It's like, let's look at this together. I get this is how kids are talking to each other, but it's not safe. We have to look at something else. So it's, as long as kids don't see it as, I'm going to have my phone taken away if you find something bad on there, then kids are going to go underground and be really secretive.
You know, I'm just thinking back in the fourth grade when I was laying in bed at night with the lights out and just fantasizing about, again, I'm in the fourth grade, fantasizing about running away with that little brunette Laura in my class. And getting married. Imagine if we both had smartphones, how life would have been altered from that point forward for me and Laura.
I work with college students. I've been teaching in a college for over 30 years. And my college students tell me that I can't tell you how many of them say, we always snuck out because we could.
Yeah.
Because it was really easy. And not because they're bad kids. And it's not because they're, you know, sneaky and sleazy. It really isn't. It's like because they can. They have the opportunity. And when I say to parents, it's not about trust. It's about temptation.
All right. Let's wire you into what you're talking about here. Because you raised a child through much of this. And we can only judge what we see on television when we see your child. Tell us who she is. And how did that go for you?
She was great. Her name is Ari Grainer, and she was on Bad Teacher. And, I think because she had a real passion and because I do have a sense of what teenagers are going through, it was a good match.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good match. And I do think that all kids who have passions and things that really turn them on other than their phones and the internet, at least have somewhere else to get their self-esteem.
And you were able to get her to do her homework.
Absolutely. But, she didn't get a cell phone until she was in senior year of high school.
No kidding.
because that's when they got them. I mean, they didn't exist before that.
Yeah, my goodness. Well, good for you, and especially for writing this book. It sounds like it's going to be helpful to a lot of parents. It's called A Survival Guide to Parenting Teens.
And I'd just like to say, Phil, that I'm going to be at Chevalier's Books in Hancock Park on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
It's between Beverly Boulevard and First Street, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of a talk, and I'm going to be signing books, and there's going to be a lot of people there. We'll have some wine and cheese.
Oh.
It's going to be a party. So
Chevalier's in Hancock Park on Sunday at 2. Very good. And we have your book available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go check it out. And thank you very much, Joni Geltman.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me, Phil.
All right. You're welcome. What do you think, guys?
Bye.
Are we ready to raise teenagers? I've already done it. I'm done raising teenagers.
Oh, man.
Out. Done.
Yeah. Jen, I know you hate kids.
You know, I don't. It's not that I hate them. It's just that I don't have that thing where it's like I see a kid and I want to go, like, talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a kid I know. But I want a child that's between the ages of 6 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to skip ahead until they're going to college.
You're
going to
go Angelina Jolie on us?
Yes.
Is that what you're going to do?
I had much more fun with my kids once I could drink with them. It was much more interesting.
Right, yeah. Right.
So you just don't want to go through the baby diaper changing colic, all that kind of stuff thing. And you don't want to push one out either. I'm just trying to get a better feel for what's going on.
I mean, nobody
can
blame you
for not
wanting to.
If I had to pick the years, like if you gave me 10 years out of my child's life that I would like to miss, it would probably be from 2 to 6 maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then from like maybe 13 to, you know, I don't know. I'm using up all my years.
13 to 17. Yeah. Those are the years when your daughter hates you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it would be different with the boy or a girl.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, which parent they hate the most.
All right. Here comes the inevitable U-turn on the program.
Here we go.
Is Ebola already on our shores? Jennifer, you've been telling us about this a lot. We're going to hear some more on it. Can you catch it? What if it breaks out? Are we prepared with a cure? We're going to talk with our resident doctor and ask all the important questions and find out what's new about this in the news, courtesy of you, Jennifer. Thanks. Coming up next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. We're busy tweeting at As We See It Show. Go friend us, follow us, and join in the conversation online. You know, I'm trying not to panic, but all these stories about Ebola, Jennifer, are a little disconcerting. Can you just kind of bring us up to speed on what the latest is?
Yeah, I don't know if you were watching the news this morning, but it's really been on our local channels and our at least channels here in the United States, the cable channels, a lot more just because those two American aid workers have both come to Atlanta. The second one landed this morning, and they've both had this experimental drug, this serum that is so new, it's never been tested for safety in humans. It was only just identified as, maybe this might work. Earlier this year. So, and this is from long-standing research by the U.S. government and the military that have been working on this, because Ebola is just one of those things that if you get it, you have a 90% chance in some cases of dying.
Are those the only two people here that have it, as far as you know? What do the people you know, Jennifer, tell you? Are there any other Ebola people here? No, we just...
The only ones I've heard of. They're over at the Center for Disease Control.
Those
right?
are the
Atlanta,
two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's bring in our resident doctor from the Valley View Wellness Medical Clinic in Garden Grove, Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz. Dr. Kurtz, thank you, sir. Bring us up to speed. What is Ebola? What are the symptoms, and how often is it deadly?
Okay, and also you asked a good question. How many people in the United States have it? And I'll answer that question also.
You know the answer?
It wasn't answered. Yeah, sort of, from what I've been listening to and what I've been hearing. But what it is, it's caused by a virus, and you start it out, it's like you have the flu. You know, you can have fever, sore throat, tiredness, you know, fatigue, muscle pain. But then within a few days, you start getting nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. And after that, when it really attacks your system, it starts attacking your internal organs, particularly your liver and kidneys. At this point, you can start having dehydration, blood loss, and that's when people have the hemorrhagic virus, when you start vomiting or some of your orifice starts secreting blood.
Oh, so it's a pain. Deadly. It's a painful, slow death, it sounds like.
Painful, slow death, yeah, very painful, very, yeah.
And with the projectile vomiting and whatever else is going on, the chances of spreading it through that to whomever is your caretaker, I would guess, is rather high.
Yeah, that's very correct, and that's how you get it. It's not, you know, it's not spread, you know, contact to contact, you know, the air. It's not spread through the air. It's spread through feces. It's spread through it's through sperm. It's spread through blood. It's spread through all these things, so things that people have. And the reason it's so prevalent in Africa is because they don't have what we have here. They don't have the healthcare system that we have.
Yeah, right. They should have the healthcare system that we have. But you know what? If we catch it and we beat it, you know, we're young and we're strong and we get over the thing. Are we now a carrier for any particular period of time?
Yes, we can be. We can be. And what they're thinking is people are coming here from Africa on the plane, and what's happening to them is they have it. And they're spreading it without people knowing it because they're not contagious at that time.
Yeah. So how many people do you think are here with Ebola, Dr. Kurtz?
Right now, hard to say. Hard to say. We know the two are. They were brought over here, you know, from West Africa. And what happened was the treatment right now, what that consists of is a thing since August of 2014, this year, this month, what they're doing is it's based on plants. And what they're using is it's called ZMAP, and it's an antibody response to the therapy. And it was produced by the MAP biopharmaceutical company.
Okay.
And they use mouse monoclonal antibodies, and that's what they're using right now on these people. And it comes from tobacco plants.
Oh.
So really the only cases we have right now in America are those two. And in New York there was one in July. There was somebody reportedly had it, but they proved that he did not have it.
They put him into quarantine, and then everything was fine.
Correct. And this was also somebody from West Africa.
Yeah.
And that's where we're seeing it right now. So if anybody's going there, you have to stay clean. You know, you have to wash your hands. You have to wear a mask. You have to stay away from these people because that's how you get it. And we get it from animals. You know, initially it's from animals. You're bit by a bat, and then it goes to the chimpanzees, the apes, the gorillas, and all those. You know, and we're in contact with those in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people get it.
This serum... And I don't know a whole lot about it, but is this the sort of thing that even without, I don't know, peer review and final FDA approval and all this thing, could it be rushed into production if an epidemic breaks out?
Well, it is right now because these two people, that's the experiment. They're using it on the two from West Africa, so they might have to speed it along. I think what they're going to develop is a vaccine against it, like they do with everything. There's going to be a vaccine against it.
Yeah, but typically that's years.
It could take a long time, correct?
Right.
So right.
Well,
now
they're actually in the process, and they say it could be available as soon as later this year. That was from Dr. Anthony Fauci. I think he's with the Institutes of Health,
mm-hmm. Center of Disease Control.
One of those two.
National Institute of Health, yeah, okay. In D.C.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing right now. Because right now they're working on these two. You know, our people. We're trying to get them cured, you know, so nothing bad happens to them.
Right. And the other thing to be concerned about, and again, I don't mean to spread panic because it sounds like we have things under control, but the idea that people from West Africa are leaving before they catch it and trying to come to some place where they could be relatively safe as far as health is concerned and perhaps coming here, we don't know if they've been infected or if maybe they've had it already and they've gotten cured and they're carrying it for a while, as you suggest might be the
case. Correct. Correct, and they could be spreading it. And the way to spread it is with the plane.
Yeah.
They're on the plane with somebody, and those people get it. They don't know, and they spread it to other people.
Right. Well.
And that's how these things. That's how these things happen. So we have to put an end to it right now. Now is the time to stop it.
And we are relatively safe, and no reason to be concerned at the moment, right?
No, absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Right now we're okay.
All right.
We're keeping everything quarantined. We're watching it. We're developing a vaccine, like you said. We're developing a cure, a treatment for it, and these people that came from West Africa right now are doing well. And supposedly what happened was there was a young child, you know, one of the many that got it in West Africa, and they took his blood somehow and they made this treatment for these two.
Right.
And that's what they're working on right now. So that's part of the treatment plan, too. And
yeah.
That's kind of what saved them. Well, this kid survived. He survived the Ebola virus.
Well, Dr. Kurtz, you've brought us up to speed on this. I feel relatively safe now. I'm out of panic mode. But still, it's something we have to be aware of and up to speed, and we appreciate you doing that for us.
Correct. It's another thing. We just have to be on top of it, and we just have to take care of ourselves and continue cleaning and, you know, taking care of our hygiene and all that, and that's what we need for all of these.
And be careful with the bats and the monkeys and the gorillas.
Yes.
Hey, Doc, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure you can.
Would, if you used Purell right after maybe touching someone that had Ebola, would it kill the virus instantly, the Purell?
It should. You know, things like that will do it. I mean, yeah. Even washing your hands, but Purell is a good thing because we have that everywhere. So it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt. I love it when a doctor says that.
There's nothing wrong with using it. It's a good product, and we use it all the time. It's in our office. It's in the hospital. It's really good. But for those that don't have Purell, wash your hands.
Should we drink it?
No, don't drink it.
Okay. Dr. Kurtz, thanks as always.
I do.
All right.
Okay, you guys. Take care. Good talking to you.
All right. Same here. Valley View Wellness Medical Clinic. That's Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz practicing there in Garden Grove. Just a great guy. We love having him on the program. He's our resident doctor. All right, let's see. What can we leave you with? I'm just scrolling through the various stories that we have here. Greg, when you have to get into a fight and you're a lady and you're fighting with another lady, what do you hope you have nearby?
Well, in the case of these two women from Pennsylvania, the nearest weapon at hand appeared to be a taxidermied head of an antlered deer. And it got them in some trouble with the state police. There's not much to report. There's no information as to why they began fighting, but apparently the culmination or the way to end the fight, if you have near at hand ever a taxidermied head of an antlered deer, swing it at your opponent, and it'll probably get the cops called.
I would think so. Were they in one of these bars where they have all the different trophies on the wall? Is that it?
Maybe. I'm reminded of Random Task from the Austin Powers movie. The guy that, you know, who hit someone with a shoe? Yes, you don't see that coming. You don't see an antlered deer coming at your head most days.
No. Element of surprise. That's what you always have to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Greg, we're going to have you back on the program tomorrow, I understand. We have Thrasher back on Thursday.
Right.
And then, Greg, you're back on Friday. It's just a fun-filled time having these celebrity co-hosts while Jay is away. And we love your comments at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. That's our email address. Twitter, @AsWeSeeItShow. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Like us. Our executive producer is Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, Greg Spillane, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.